turn in your Bibles, if you would please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This month, as we basically wind down in a sense, and as we approach Easter Sunday, I'm intentionally throughout this month, as we get closer to Easter, I'm intentionally bringing messages relative to the crucifixion of Christ. Now, tonight, as we have the Lord's Supper, obviously we will be showing forth his death, as Paul would state even, and we're commemorating the death of Christ, the finished work of Christ. Well, today we're looking at a passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which certainly redounds to the theme of Christ's finished work. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to begin reading now at verse 1 of chapter 15, talking about the old story. That's what I'm preaching on this morning. In fact, I think Joy played that song just before the service started, or before we kicked in officially. Now look at verse 1 of chapter 15 of the book of 1 Corinthians. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Shall we pray? Father, thank you for this precious portion of your word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the definition of the gospel as outlined in these precious words, these precious verses. Help us this morning, Heavenly Father, to be more enamored in our hearts as we think of the old story of the gospel, the truth of the gospel. Now, Father, today would you visit all of us, visit every heart, and dear Lord, today may every human heart's need be met. Now, Father, would you bless today, do a work in our hearts, and may your Son be honored as we attempt by your grace to share with this congregation the great truths concerning his work at Calvary. So, Father, now would you bless? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The old story. You know, many years ago, back in 1834, the old song, "Tell Me the Old Story," was written by an English lady by the name of Catherine Hankey. You know, it's amazing, and I've said this many times, but it's amazing to me, all of the great old songs, gospel songs and hymns that came out in the 19th century. It's amazing. This is another one. Now, this particular song originally was in the form of a poem. And in 1867, an old British general read this poem at a convention. And in doing so, tears began to stream down his face. And then he put it to music later on. The lyrics of that song, "Tell me the story slowly, that I may take it in, that wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. Tell me the old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love." Throughout the Scriptures, Old and New Testament, we see the old story being told. We see the old story told back in the Old Testament. And Christ had not even come yet. But the old story was still told. Now, in this 1 Corinthians passage, Paul says that he told them what he had received. He had been given that message. He had been told that message. He had received that truth, and he delivers it unto them. Now, you know, when we think of that old story, that gospel message, All of us ought to be a little bit like the old town crier who used to shout, "Hear ye, hear ye." I mean, we all ought to be like that old crier. We are to have the fervor of even a Paul Revere who went through warning of the British coming. Now, you all know my story. I heard the old story, the old message back in 1968. And I've been trying to tell it now for 55 years. I botch it up many times. I certainly don't preach the best sermon for sure. But I'll tell you one thing, you can't improve on that old message of the gospel though, can you? We preachers sometimes, we all preach different. We all have our different styles. We all might say things different. And we all have our different delivery mechanism. But I'll tell you, every gospel preacher that's preaching the old story, what that gospel preacher has to say is just as valid, just as important as any other gospel preacher. It's not about necessarily how we tell it, but it's about what we tell. The old story. Now, the old story of Jesus and his redeeming love. You just can't beat it, can you? In fact, that's the old story. That's the same message. That's the old gospel story that's caused this crowd to be here this morning. It's because of that old gospel story we're having a church service. It's because of the old gospel story we have people here today that know what salvation's all about. It's the old story of God's finished work at Calvary. The greatest message that's ever been given. I'd like to point out to you this morning, as we work our way into the message, I'd like to point out to you this morning that the old story was told in the Old Testament. Do you know the story about the coming Redeemer was told in the Old Testament? In fact, let's go back all the way. Let's go back to the time that creation of man. Do you realize the old story was told by God to Adam? Yes, it was. Now how, you say? Well, what about this? What about when Adam sinned and God slew the innocent animal? What about the coat? What about the clothing that God provided? What about the type that showed up in the Garden of Eden? I'd say today the old story was told by God even in the Garden of Eden. Because it was looking forward. It was pointing forward. It was a redemptive truth that tied into a typological truth pertaining to Christ who was coming. Later, do you know Noah told the old story? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah built an ark. And that ark itself typifies Jesus Christ in so many ways. When Noah's family got inside that ark, the Bible says God closed the door. And I'll tell you, there was a door on the side too, wasn't there? Now what do we think of there? I think about how Jesus Christ was pierced in his side. And redemption has resulted. And he is the door too. Of John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let's go further. Abraham told the old story. Abraham told Isaac. He said, God will provide himself a lamb. And Abraham was going to slay his son Isaac. But God stopped him. But yet in type, in the mind of Abraham, he was going to do it. And Isaac is a picture, a type of Christ. And that question came up about the lamb, and we certainly can't help but see that story there, can we? When we think of the lamb. So the old story was told by Abraham. And I believe the old story was told on the night of the Passover. When God would pass through the land and the blood that had been applied to the lintels of the doors, the Jewish families, we know that they were protected inside. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And I'll tell you, when God sees his precious Son, the blood of Jesus Christ applied to the lintel of the door of the heart and a redeemed person beneath the blood, God passes over us. The wrath of God has been diverted because it fell upon His Son. Now let's go further. The old story was told by Moses when he lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And then Jesus later on comes along and says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So the old story was told by Moses. Then we could keep going, but we don't have that much time. I want to say a few other things besides just get out of the Old Testament too. But it was told by the prophets. They told the old story. Isaiah said he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. David the psalmist said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The old story was told by Daniel. You know the account of the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, the sign of the fourth man's like the Son of God. Jesus showed up, didn't he? The old story was told. Then now, let's transition to the New Testament. John introduced him. John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John was telling the old story. And then Jesus, in John 3:16, he told it. It was about him, but he told it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus told the old story about himself. Let me approach this message like this. This old story, I'll give you the first point, is a particular story. It's a particular story. The old story is a particular story. It's one of a kind. It's the best story. It is a saving story. It is a preeminent story. It's a particular story. Now, it's not a story with bells and whistles. It's not a story with chills and thrills. It's not that. It's not a fictional story. It's not a fictional story or a cheap and a shallow story. No way at all. The story of redemption is what I'm talking about. It's a story of the cross. Now, unfortunately, we live in a time where everything's changing. Times have changed. Fashions have changed. Technology has changed. And unfortunately, there's changes taking place in churches. Some of it might be good, but not all of it. I don't see anything wrong in using technology for the glory of God. I don't see anything wrong in using methods. As long as we stay with the message, and as long as methods are used in a way that will complement the giving out the message. Sometimes we might use the screen up behind me. We may put bullet points on the screen. And when I was in the military, they used to call it death by PowerPoint. And sometimes visuals help a little bit. My old sergeant major, I talk to him quite often. He'll still calls me. He'll say, you're my favorite chaplain. He'll say, do you still give those death by PowerPoint suicide prevention? I used to travel all over the place giving those suicide prevention courses. Methodology can be good. Multitudes are clamoring for something new. Something new. But I'll tell you, we never replace this, do we? We never get away from this. And I still believe the greatest attraction in any church ought to be the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It ought to be the unadulterated message of the truth that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Amen. We can have the bells and the whistles and the chills and the thrills and all the fancy to do that goes on, and that's okay as long as it's kept in proper order. But I'll tell you, people must never get away from the fact it's the gospel and the gospel alone that sets souls free. It's a saving gospel of Jesus Christ that we need. I've never gotten over it. And I pray God I'll never get over it. In fact, as time has gone on with me, I've gotten weaker bodily, and that goes along with territory. But I'd like to think I haven't gotten weaker spiritually, though. I can say to you this morning with a clear face, with a straight face, I can tell you today that the gospel has never thrilled me more than what it does now. The Bible has never blessed me more than what it is now. I enjoy, for example, I have enjoyed preaching more than I have ever enjoyed preaching it. I just love the Lord. I can't get over it. The old story of Jesus and His love. The old story. When I learned that God took care of my sins, past, present, and future, that put me on shouting ground. To realize that God does indeed give eternal life. To realize that whom He called, He justified, and whom He justified, He glorified. To realize that my life is in God's hands and there's nothing that I can do to make God quit loving me, and the justification that He gave me 55 years ago is just as valid today as it was when God met me and saved my soul as a hell-bound sinner. That's why I can't get over it. Sweeter gets the journey every day. Serving Jesus really pays, but I'll tell you what really pays, worshiping Him. That pays even more than serving Him. And oh, don't you love Him? I can't get over the fact that Jesus came into the prison camp of my soul many years ago, threw open the doors, and I walked out as a new man in Christ. Thank God, like the old illustration said, I went in the last all and came out the last all. Went in the first all, come out the last all. As that old evangelist said, I've used it many times. Man wouldn't get saved. And the old preacher said, as the train was pulling out, he said, go to Isaiah chapter 53 verse 6. He said, go in the first all and come out the last all. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's going into first all and coming out the last all. And that's the kind of salvation experience that'll last forever. The old story is a particular story. Secondly, the old story is a peace-giving story. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The man that wrote that knew what peace was. The author of this epistle knew what peace was. Nothing but the gospel gives peace. Nothing. Today, there's a restlessness in human hearts which accounts for the emptiness, the despair, and the turbulence going on, which accounts for the reason that military chaplains and preachers many times have to counsel people concerning suicide prevention. There's an epidemic of suicides. There's more, in fact, the biggest killer among teenagers, young people, suicide. It's tragic. What accounts for it? What accounts for the turbulence, for the despair, and the hopelessness? It's because God has been pushed out of people's lives. And nothing makes sense when God's not in our life. Nothing makes sense. Life seems meaningless. It's a setup for despair. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That's the total opposite of having it more stressfully, or having it more mournfully, or having it more solemnly. It's a total opposite. The opposite of despair is peace and joy. And this old story that I'm talking about, this old message, can take care of that. Many people are testing the waters of drugs and alcohol and vice, but they're still not happy. I heard the other day, statistics are out there, that there is an epidemic, so to speak, of suicide occurring on the part of those that go through gender transition in their lives. Sorrow, despair, suicides are occurring a terrible rate of those that wind up killing themselves. Here's how it works. The same God that made us knows how to take care of us. The same God that's good to save us is a God that can keep our lives in order. Amen. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist or are held together. He can hold our lives together. The world can't. Drugs and vice can't. And trying to change roles can't. Changing gender is not the answer. No, let's just accept who we are when God made us and go from there and know the Creator and love Him and serve Him. The Bible says the wicked are like the troubled sea. Doesn't that describe society today? Or like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Isaiah 57. The old story. What's wonderful to know that since the time has changed, we've got an extra hour, or do we? Or we lose an hour. We preachers like to exploit it. I somehow translate that into meaning I got a two-hour sermon I can preach if I want to. I won't do that, but you know this time change, it helps us preachers. We can figure out a way to make it work to our favor. But thirdly, that old story I'm talking about is a precious story. Precious story. Precious how? The gospel message gives credence to the Bible. It's a theme of the Bible. Redemption through the blood of the Lamb. The gospel message is the answer to all of the miracles. The old story is a gospel message. It's the answer to all of the miracles. If Jesus did not die, was not buried, was not risen, and did not ascend, you wouldn't find the first miracle. There wouldn't be any credence. There wouldn't be any power. There wouldn't be any miracles. Now, ponder that. If Christ be not raised, we have no hope, do we? We're still dead in our sins. So how could there be any power from God if Calvary was a failure? If Christ did not totally pay the sin debt? It all falls back on that. Zacchaeus, let's give you a few illustrations here. Zacchaeus could not have been told that salvation was come to his house without the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lazarus could not have been told, Lazarus, come forth in John 11, if Jesus did not come forth himself out of the grave, which he did, which we commemorate and honor on Easter Sunday. Actually, the Bible would be uninspired if Jesus did not accomplish what the prophets wrote about and the types pointed to. The Bible wouldn't even be inspired. I mean, the Bible would be about as worthless in reality though I can say what I'm referring to here is entertaining, but the Bible would be about as worthless as that Guns and Ammo magazine that Brother Howe gave me. Or the NRA magazine, and I read those. I pour over them. I love guns. You know, I enjoy that. But the Bible wouldn't even be at a higher level than the Guns and Ammo magazine or any of the NRA magazines if Jesus did not pay our sin debt. I mean, this would be no better than the Reader's Digest or a novel or all of the other hosts of books that you would like to read. This book would be on the same level. But no, this book is not on the same level. This is the inspired word of the living God. This is God's breath. This is inspired. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. The Bible came not by the origination of human beings, but was given to us through inspiration. And it would not be of such if Jesus did not accomplish sin's redemption on the cross. It would not be no better. It's a precious story. Jesus would have only died as a martyr and would not be able to say it's finished if it was not finished. But it got to hurry. I got an hour and 15 more minutes now left. It's a proven story. A proven story. The old story is a proven story. How's it proven? I'm looking in a life. I'm looking in the faces right now of living proofs. It's a proven story. I don't usually do this, but I'm going to do it today to illustrate a point. How many of you can raise your hand right now? This could be an invitation, but I'm using it as an illustration. How many of you can raise your hand right now and say, I know there was a time in my life when God saved me. Let me see your hands. There you have it. You're the proof. How did you get saved? You got saved because of the gospel message. It pertains to the finished work of Christ. Living proof. It's a proving message. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a power of God into salvation. We just had proof of it. It's a proving. A dead message, a dead book can't produce living creatures. A dead message can't do what has happened here. It couldn't do it. Only a living message. I believe the gospel message is teeming with life. It's teeming with life. It's a life-giving message. We're saved. Paul said it right there, didn't he? For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then he makes it clear it's a saving message too. So it is a proven message, and then it is a preeminent story. The old story is a preeminent story. You want to know how we know that? Galatians 1:8 pretty well proves it. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Any other gospel, let him be accursed. It is a preeminent message. There's no substitute. There's nothing that will replace it. It is a preeminent message. It's the only message that will get you to heaven. It's the only message that will do when you're dying. It's the only message. It is a preeminent story. I thought about it this past week, and I thought about that old story. and how precious it's been to me for these many years. And I penned a few words and put them down. In fact, I even posted this. I was told the gospel story of the Savior's sacrifice. I was told he took sin's penalty and fully paid the price. It was told me that the debt was paid at the place called Calvary. It was told me that his precious blood would save and set me free. It was told me that my broken life, the potter would restore. It was told me that new life he'd give and peace forevermore. It was told me that his saving grace could cleanse and make me well. I was told the old, old story, and it saved my soul from hell. My friend, the old, old story will last forever. The gospel message, the truth of Christ's finished work, will be evident throughout eternity when the saints of God tread the streets of gold forever and ever and ever. When the myriad of angels assemble around the throne and sing the praises, and the ransomed host of God sing the praises of the Lamb, it'll be credit. It'll be credit to the old, old story. Throughout eternity, we will be reminded of the old, old story. We'll see the nail-pierced hands. We'll look at the riven side. We will see the marks of Calvary upon the one who was a bleeding lamb, and be reminded throughout eternity of the old, old story. The old, old story of Jesus and his love. The old, old story that in due time Christ died for the ungodly. The old, old story that he tasted death for every man. The old, old story that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The old, old story, but God hath made him to be sins for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The old, old story, he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. The old, old story, why stand ye here gazing? The same Jesus that you see will so come in like manner. My friend, the old, old story has to do with what Christ has accomplished for our sins. And thank God today, if you were saved 55 years ago, like I was, you're just as saved today as you were then. And thank God forever and ever and ever, you'll still be just as saved. That old, old story redeems forever and ever and ever. So I say, tell me the old, old story. I love to keep hearing it. And I want to die shouting it on my lips. I want it to be the theme of my life. The old, old story. Don't you feel sorry for me right now. I'm having a time of my life enjoying my Jesus. Thank God for the old, old story. Do you know him? Have you been saved? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, I come to you in prayer right now. And Lord, I pray if there's someone that's here or out there that doesn't know anything about the old, old story that Paul preached, Lord, I pray they'd get saved. Lord, if there's someone right now listening to me that may have a little dose of religion and may have just enough religion to make them miserable but yet not give them security, Lord, they need this message. So save their soul. May sinners right now cry out to God for mercy, asking you to save them. Heads are bowed for just a moment, and we come to this invitation time. I wonder this morning, are you here in this service? And you're not sure that you're saved, and you're not sure that you can identify with this old, old story? Well, you can, you can. God loved you. Christ died for you. And he was raised again for you. He ascended back to heaven for you. You can be saved. If you're here this morning, and if there's any doubt right now about your salvation, would you be willing to slip up a hand right now while no one's looking? You just slip up a hand and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I'd sure like to know. Would you pray for me?" Anybody in the service, lift your hand up if you're here and you're not sure that you're saved. Anyone this morning or out there, if you're watching and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I encourage you right now to bow your head and humble your heart and cry out to God, because He died for you. Christ died for you, was buried and rose again for you. If you'd be willing to ask Him to come into your heart and save you, admitting before God you're a sinner and He already knows you are, and ask Him to save you, He'll do it, because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, Lord, bless the invitation. There could be some that maybe just want to come, and Lord, just maybe just get on their knees up front or bow their head right where they are and maybe just simply say, "Lord, I love you. I thank you for the old story. I thank you for my salvation that I've been enjoying so many years. I don't say it enough, but God, I want you to know I love you and thank you for saving me. And thank you for that gospel message." Father, bless now the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.